It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Forever!
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog!
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest Patrick Ellers. This week, The Outcasts of Poker Flat by Bret Hart.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today on the podcast, we have another podcaster, comedian, improviser, all-around good guy.
Oh, man of the people. Great.
Man of the people.
Great guy.
You I may think know of myself as a man of the people. Mm-hmm.
We mm-hmm. didn't introduce you
oh,
yet.
Oh, I apologize.
Not so, a man of the people.
Honestly,
he's a man.
Man of the Interrupter. Classic. Anyway, I guess Patrick Ellers
yeah,
is here.
Young Patrick.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. You're one of our favorite people.
You
we
are.
We love you.
This is one of my favorite shows.
Aw.
Thank you.
How dare you say one of your favorite?
Well, the other one is Team Creeps.
Obviously.
Oh, here we go. This is you guys work as a team.
Uh-huh.
I'm the truth.
The other what? One is
Open
our other
eyes,
podcast.
Yeah, the others are, you know, same day shipping. There's a show that you and I are on.
Oh,
yeah,
that's another favorite.
True. Or Nintendo Cartridge Society.
Another favorite.
We go. Yeah. Fantastic favorite.
Look at this awesome way that we so slyly slipped in Patrick's
we
other
credits.
Very nice job.
Yeah. Here, listen up. We're professionals.
We are professionals.
Even when sweat is dripping off of our bodies and we've got a wet cookie in the other room.
Not the moist cookie again.
Moist cookie, just slipping around. Big old pepperoni sized chocolate chips.
Oh, what?
Oh, girl, it is.
Discs, medallions, some
medallions.
Would say.
These juicy medallions, you bite into it, it's like a souffle, baby. It's dirty and it's ready for your little baby mouth.
It's going to stain
as bad
your,
as your
teeth.
Yeah. When you bite into it, when Patrick bit into it, a little chocolate chip kissed his cheek and left a mark.
I'm fine with that part. That part was fine.
Yeah, that part was actually kind of sweet.
It made you seem like a cute little boy.
Like a cherub.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's like a pixie jumped out of the cookie and kissed your cheek.
Took a little dump on your face.
Oh, well, I don't care for that at all.
Hey. We're a clean podcast. We're clean. We don't curse.
We work clean. We're family oriented.
We are a family. Patrick lives in the home that we share.
Mm-hmm. Normally, you only pull me out to talk about Lois Duncan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were good this week, so.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We also pulled you out to talk about the god Pan.
That's
oh,
true.
Yeah.
We had to do
and
flute
other
music
thing.
Together.
Yeah, on yeah,
like a wolf Saki. Boy or something.
Oh, right, a wild wolf boy that's inside all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys, guess what? We're on the spectrum.
That's a plug for Patrick's previous episode on Public Domain Theater.
Yeah, check that out.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun one. I had fun.
Yeah, it was
it
fun.
It was a fun one,
and you should have fun too. I almost threw. Guys, we're punchy right now because it's so warm in this room.
It's too hot.
I don't know
it's
if you heard from the internet, but there is a heat wave.
There is a heat wave. It's so
hot.
The
internet told you that there's a heat wave?
Has it told you about hashtag LA heatwave?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's terrible.
Okay, guess what? So again, Chicken Brett butt. Is not here. That's a really funny joke. That's so funny joke.
I love it.
Do you mind if I like tweet that?
You know what? Yes.
I'll tribute you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Brett's not here.
It's true.
Brett's not here. He emailed us. So again, it'll just be mean us screaming at a person who's not here.
And then just constantly complimenting Jenar.
Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing.
Because he didn't choose the story.
He didn't choose the story. He dressed right for the occasion.
He's like an enterprising young man.
He's the only one who dressed right for the occasion. As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, wow. Rude. I'm wearing shorts.
Last time.
The only one dressed right.
I saw him while we were recording. I saw him meditating.
Oh, yeah.
He's just sitting there and meditating. Yeah.
That's smart.
Here's the thing. He's always centered.
So centered.
He's so centered.
Super zen.
Well, because you walk in the room, right? And you're like stressed, right?
He's a light. He brings a light. Like you walk in the room and Jenar is glowing.
And he also will he'll notice, there's something up with you. He'll come up to you. He'll grab your shoulders and he'll say just stay still. And you'll be like, I am still. And he's like, are you inside?
Are you really? And you'll realize you're not.
You're not. And you're
you realize you've
right.
never been still.
You've never been still.
Never.
And then he says that out loud and you're like,
center.
That's what I.
And then you're like, Now I feel it. Yeah. And what's great is that these are all things that we actually think and it's coming off as a joke.
No, it's coming off a joke. I don't get
off
why.
As a joke.
Honestly, I feel attacked that you think we're joking.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
These are our real thoughts that you can't say to Jenar's face. You can only say it when there's a microphone.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're too vulnerable. You're too vulnerable.
Are you guys ever worried about that? That we share so much on microphone and on podcasts that this is the only place where we can really say and really express ourselves and be vulnerable.
It's actually very Mr. Rogers because he has given.
Mm.
He gave.
Have you watched that yet?
Oh yeah, I mean I cried all the way through.
Yeah,
it, so
same.
Watch. Oh, I saw most
I
of it.
I saw it twice, and I left both times incredibly depressed.
Yes,
because, yeah, me too.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the man died feeling like a failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
9/11 made him feel like. He lost the battle.
What's even
and
the point?
And then it's very clear that everyone in his life feels hopeless about current times.
Oh, absolutely. They're all like, well, if he...
Well,
they're
I mean, like, why, see, why should they know. Be different
they're
from the rest
so
of us?
They're so browbeaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's a real heartwarming bummer.
But yeah, it is very heartwarming. And then you...
And then you leave.
You
leave
feel the Fred Rogers shaped hole in the universe
absolutely.
As you leave.
You do.
But he gave an interview and it's included in the documentary. Where he's talking about how having Daniel Striped Tiger, he's able to express his vulnerability through the puppet in a way. So he can say through Daniel Tiger, can I have a hug? Whereas as a grown man, if he turned to the interviewer and was like, can I have a hug? That'd be insane. It's like that.
Yeah. And I also find
The microphones are our Daniel Striped Tigers.
Well, it's total, and also I find I'm a way better conversationalist with people that I don't know if I have a microphone in front of me.
Well, yeah, there's something about the tacit agreement that you make of the time that we are spending together now is for the time we spend together now.
Yeah.
Like in any other circumstance, it'd be like, there's a meal that's involved or you can go to your phone or they can talk to someone else or leave.
Well, you're able to jack your energy up for the sake of the other person in the podcast, as opposed to I feel bad for my boyfriend when I get home because it's like I've had my energy jacked up all day because I'm around other people and I'm trying to be funny in meetings and blah, 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 doing bits. And then I get home and it's my chance to release and not have to perform. But then my poor boyfriend's there and it's like, sorry, I spent all my energy, bro.
Yeah. I just can't talk
it's
for the next
fair.
2 hours.
For me,
so he gets the sleepiest, Lindsay.
Micah is very tired after work. And I come back after a podcast and I'm like, woo! And I'm jumping on him.
After a podcast?
Oh, God.
I take a nosedive.
Here's the thing. I am jacked up. I am blah, 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 blah. And then I get very tired an hour later.
I'll sleep for 2 days after this.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, goodbye. Nice knowing you.
Oh,
I'll see you at Comic-Con.
Ant-Man when he gets real big.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Oh, you guys see haven't it? Seen Ant-Man and Wasp yet.
I really liked it. Lindsay did not.
So, what story are we reading today?
Oh, no.
Well, we're reading something by Bret Hart, which
the wrestler.
Brett.
The Hitman, obviously.
Brett, you chose this because of your name.
It's so transparent.
It's so obvious. It's like, frankly, embarrassing. Do you guys know anything about Bret Hart?
No.
I know he died in the ring.
Guess what? Okay, what? He died in the ring. Okay, I'll give you this hint. Died in the ring in 1902.
Uh-huh.
When was he born? You were very good at guessing when they're born.
I'm going to say 1863.
67 was going to be my guess.
You're both embarrassingly wrong.
I was guessing he died in his 40s.
But you know what? You said 1863.
Mm-hmm.
You're not 1836. Flip it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. And I'm right.
Oh, and I meant very good. 70. What was the opposite of what I said? 76?
76.
Yeah.
1876.
Okay, so he was an American short story writer and poet. He's best remembered for his short fiction featuring miners, gamblers, and other rascally figures of the California Gold Rush.
People who mine, not under 18.
Right, I was like, children are such rascals.
I can hear Brett saying this one.
Okay, you want to try again?
Gamblers and other rascally figures of the California Gold Rush. It's a slight accent.
No, I wasn't.
Gamblers and other rascally.
No, you were doing better on the last episode.
It was such a Brett sentence.
It was. Well, again, yeah.
Gamblers and other rascally figures of the California Gold Rush.
Closer.
You know what it is? Brett speaks like he's very metered, but it's, also it's speaks like, a little like a roller coaster.
Is it a pitch thing or a speed?
Speed.
Okay.
But a little bit of a little
pitch goes with it.
It's like a little. Yeah. He was born in Albany, New York. His father was an Orthodox Jewish immigrant who flourished as a merchant, became one of the founders of the New York Stock Exchange.
Fancy.
What?
Check out the Hart family.
He was an avid reader as a boy. He published his first work at age 11, a satirical poem titled Autumn Musings, Now Lost. Good riddance. Probably terrible.
Yeah, I wrote poetry too at that age. Yeah, that doesn't mean it was good.
Now Lost is commentary, not part of the title.
No, Now Lost.
Autumn Musings, Now Lost.
No, it was commentary, yes. In that case, sad.
Yeah, real sad. For 11?
Now lost to us.
Mm. He didn't attract praise. He got ridicule from his family.
Same.
I mean, duh.
You were writing 11-year-old poetry. Did you think it was going to be good?
They were like, this is bad.
That's embarrassing that you thought that.
Such a shock was their ridicule to me that I wonder that I ever wrote another line of verse. His formal schooling ended when he was 13. He moves to California in 1853, unsuccessful attempt to make a living in the gold mining camps. He signed on as a messenger with Wells Fargo & Co. He guarded treasure boxes on stagecoaches for a few months.
Cool.
That's cool.
Can we do that? That sounds like fun.
I don't know the song.
The other word. Music Man.
Oh, I don't know Music Man. Sorry.
I think you're better off not knowing Music Man.
What?
I don't like Music Man. I don't need it.
You liked Ant-Man and the Wasp, but you don't like Music Man?
Yeah, I enjoy laughter. I like to laugh.
I think not.
Shapoopy, that's there Music Man.
Mm-hmm. I hate that. I do hate that song in it.
Yeah.
It's the worst number.
Well, there we go. Okay. Shapoopy. During his tenure as a teacher, so he gives up the guarding thing. He decides to become a schoolmaster at a school near Sonora. He's a teacher. He starts to publish short stories. He's like drawing from his experiences in the mining camps and frontier towns. He strikes up a friendship with Mark Twain. But then they had a bitter falling out.
Mm.
Mark Twain drags him, says his writing is insecure.
Oh, no.
That is such a mean thing to say. That is the meanest thing you can say about someone's writing.
Because it's true of all writers. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Claws out. Totally. It's like, oh, wow, that's mean because it's true.
Yeah, because everyone feels it.
Wow. Twain. You cunt.
Oh, my God. Get this. Writing in his autobiography, Twain criticized the miner's dialect used by Hart, claiming it never existed outside of his imagination.
What?
He also tried to block Hart's appointment to the position of United States consul in the town of Krefeld, Germany, writing, Hart is a liar, a thief, a swindler, a snob, a sot, a sponge.
Something happened.
He called him a sponge.
Yeah.
A sponge, a coward, a Jeremy Diddler. He is brimful of treachery. To send this nasty creature to puke upon the American name in a foreign land is too much.
Mark Twain, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn, girl. Wow, that's a drag.
Put the claws away. Wow.
Something happened. Something serious happened. Okay.
You think they were together at some point?
Maybe. This is like an ex-lover's hatred.
For sure.
Or you slept with somebody
that could also be hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was like, you owe me $5. I'm not paying. You know I don't. You little sponge.
You sponge. You sponge.
You Jeremy Diddler.
You are a Jeremy Diddler if ever I saw a Diddler.
Is Diddler capitalized in that? Like, is that a name?
It's the name Jeremy Diddler.
Okay. I was wondering if it was just like a one who diddles Jeremy. I don't know. I don't know who Jeremy Diddler is.
Neither
I'm
do
looking
I.
It up.
Yeah.
I want to know. Well, he criticized the whole miners dialect. Does that mean we have Bret Hart to thank for the old timey classic prospector? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're about to see.
Fuck you, Twain. How dare you try to keep that from the world?
Or what if we read it and we're like, what the fuck are these people saying?
I guess we'll find out.
Oh, but man.
Then
I just glanced.
Will Ferrell's classic, cinnamon and gravy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know
the
what?
The world would be worse off without that.
Just let it go. Like, just let him do his thing. If he wants to write fake dialect, fine.
Yeah. I mean, something happened between these guys.
Absolutely.
It can't possibly be all professional.
Okay. Jeremy Diddler is a fictional character in James Kenney's 1803 farce, Raising the Wind. A needy, artful swindler, Jeremy Diddler has become a stock farce character, and the word diddle may be derived from him.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, after
maybe he tried to steal some of his writing.
That could be it, too.
Yeah.
That could be it, too. After living the last quarter of his life in Europe, Hart died in 1902 in England of throat cancer.
Mm.
That's it.
In the ring.
In the ring.
From
it was just a coincidence.
Too much pee.
Pee-pee?
No, the word I can't say.
Oh.
You know that Michael Douglas thing?
The Michael Douglas thing, yeah.
That
he got throat
Michael
cancer from having too much oral sex.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's what he says.
He ate too much puss-puss?
Mm-hmm. And that it gave him cancer.
Uh-huh. That's what he said.
You know what? If you're going to, whatever, I'll let him do it.
Talking about this with Mike because of Ant-Man.
Right. That's why it's also top of mind for me because of Ant-Man and Wasp. See, it's bringing us together now.
Wait, why?
We're also driving us apart.
Is there a lot of, like, keeping us apart spatially.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of eating?
In Ant-Man?
Eating it?
It's too much.
Tons.
For my taste. That's why I did not like it. I'm a real...
Five stars from me.
Clutching my pearl.
Oh, my God.
It used the P word at least 20 times too many, in my opinion.
All right, you ready to read this thing?
Let's do it. I'm hot.
Yeah, I'm hot, too. Okay, so it's got 4 pages. Well, 3.5. So what do? Like a page and like a little line each?
Page and a little bit more.
Great.
What's 4 divided by 3?
But
one
it's like,
and one
but
third.
It's like this. It's like barely.
Oh, okay.
So we'll just do like a page and like this.
Okay.
And then leave the rest for Patrick.
For Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia.
What does your mom call you, Pat?
Pa.
Oh, Pa.
Oh, yeah, Pa.
It's got like a silent H at the end of it.
Yeah.
Pa.
Pa.
As Mr. John Oakhurst, a gambler, stepped into the main street of Poker Flat on the morning of the 23rd of November, 1850, he was conscious of a change in its moral atmosphere since the preceding night.
Ooh.
Two or three men, conversing earnestly together, ceased as he approached and exchanged significant glances.
Are you picturing two men or three men?
Three.
Okay.
Great.
I'll picture two.
Also, you don't have to say two.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a two or three men.
I missed the two or three
Also,
men.
If it's that little of a number, you can just pick one.
You know how many.
You know
it
how many. Yeah. It reminds me of, you know when people lie about, like, how many people they've had sex with? In high school, there was this guy that was like, yeah, I'm totally, like, not a virgin. I've had sex, like, so many times. And then someone was like, how many times? And he was like, I don't know, like three or four. And then we were like, well, you would know.
You would know the difference between three and four.
You would know.
Like, yeah.
Well, it depends on how far apart the incidences were.
We're talking high school now,
high
right?
school. And
yeah,
like,
well, like when did he start? 12?
When did he start? As a child? As a baby?
Yeah, because then you might forget.
That's
all I'm saying.
Babies, fucking babies, man. Okay.
How many partners you guys?
I don't know, like three or four?
I don't know, like 13 or 14.
Now that's when you'd lose track.
Right.
There was a Sabbath lull in the air, which in a settlement unused to Sabbath influences looked ominous. What does that mean?
Not religious.
Okay.
That would be my guess, too. That there's some sort of, because he mentioned a change in the moral atmosphere.
Right.
Earlier.
So there's like a weird, creepy churchiness happening.
Yeah.
Or a lack of churchiness.
But they're not accustomed to their being.
Says there was a Sabbath lull in the air, which in a settlement unused to it looked ominous.
Okay.
We're there. We got this.
We got it. Okay. Mr. Oakhurst's calm, handsome face betrayed small concern in these indications. Okay. Whether he was conscious of any predisposing cause was another question. I reckon they're after somebody, he reflected. Likely it's me. He returned to his pocket the handkerchief with which he had been whipping away the red dust of Poker Flat from his neat boots and quietly discharged his mind of any further conjecture.
Oh, I don't want to hear anything about discharging minds.
You can just say you don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Moist cookie.
He discharged, discharged of his mind that moist cookie on his boots. In point of fact, Poker Flat was after somebody. It had lately suffered the loss of several thousand dollars, two valuable horses, and a prominent citizen.
Stakes. Oh. These are the stakes.
Yeah, these are the stakes.
Yeah.
It was experiencing a spasm of virtuous reaction, quite as lawless and ungovernable as any of the acts that had provoked it. A secret committee had determined to rid the town of all improper persons.
Oh.
This was done permanently in regard
Witch
of...
hunts.
Yeah. Two men who were then hanging from the boughs of a sycamore in the gulch.
He knew. Mm.
And temporarily in the banishment of certain other objectionable characters. I regret to say
Women.
That some of these were ladies.
There you go.
I knew it.
It is but due to the sex, however, to state that their impropriety was professional. And it was...
They hung prostitutes?
No, they're not being
don't
hanged. They're
it.
Banished. They're banished.
Okay.
Still, though, don't banish people
for
being a sex worker. And it was only in such easily established standards of evil that Poker Flat ventured to sit in judgment. Mr. Oakhurst was right in supposing that he was included in this category. A few of the committee had urged hanging him as a possible example, and a sure method of reimbursing themselves from his pockets of the sums he had won from them.
So is Oakhurst a prostitute?
Oh.
I don't know what's happening
I think
in this story.
He's a gambler.
He's a gambler.
It's like we really, with so
but
many
this
of these stories,
flats.
Why do they throw us in the deep end?
Yeah. So he's, I see. So he's one of the unwanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I think is happening, and it's funny because when I listen back to these episodes, it's always like so clear to me what the story is. But when I'm listening to it here and now, I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But I think it's like a, like a
they're cleaning
Deadwood,
up the town.
Lawless town. Mm. But because some real shit went down, they're like, fuck it, we're expelling everyone. And it's like, well, you're a gambling town, so what's this about? And they're like, shut up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Maybe.
It's again justice, said Jim Wheeler, to let this year young man from Roaring Camp, an entire stranger, carry away our money. But a crude sentiment of equity residing in the breasts of those who had been fortunate enough to win from Mr. Oakhurst overruled this narrower local prejudice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're there. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mr. Oakhurst received his sentence with philosophic calmness, nonetheless coolly that he was aware of the hesitation of his judges. He was too much of a gambler not to accept fate. With him, life was at best an uncertain game, and he recognized the usual percentage in favor of the dealer. All right, this guy's like, hey, do I hate the player, hate the game?
Does he consider himself
he's also like the
dealer?
House always wins.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. He's a gambler. He's too much of a gambler not to accept fate. Wait, so that means, okay, if you're too much of a gambler not to accept fate.
It means you do accept fate.
Right, and because you know that
you
life is unfair.
Not accept fate.
Yeah.
This guy sounds
this
great
guy's
to me so
language
far.
Yeah, does not flow. No.
A body of armed men accompanied the deported wickedness of Poker Flat to the outskirts of the settlement. Besides Mr. Oakhurst, who was known to be a coolly desperate man, and for whose intimidation the armed escort was intended, the expatriated party consisted of a young woman familiarly known as the Duchess.
Oh my God. His language is...
It's real rough.
So dense.
Another...
I'm in like a thicket of like... pretentious trying.
Yeah.
I
some
get
would
the
say
Twain
insecure,
thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
some would
say, you know what?
Yeah,
I think
insecure.
We're Team Twain.
Mm-hmm.
Another,
that happened so quickly.
Yeah, we turned. I mean, it's like three paragraphs. Who had won the title of Mother Shipton and Uncle Billy, a suspected sluice robber and confirmed drunkard.
Mm, sluice robber.
Nice. What are you robbing a sluice? What are you robbing a sluice?
What is
What's
a sluice?
I don't know. I just liked the sound
of it. Sluice Robert Steele and Sluice John B.
Oh, wait.
Like the
okay,
Beach
hold
Boys
on.
Song.
Right.
I'm
so going to
bet
boat?
What it is. Yeah. I think I know what it is. Okay. Oh, Sluice, I think, is like when you're like panning for gold, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess. What is a sluice?
So, oh, yeah. It could be those like gold panning pans.
Okay. This was published 1869. Oh, he was only 2 years old when he wrote this, according to your guess.
That's, I stand by my guess.
Do you guys want to know?
Okay, so
when we reversed
I thought it.
It
was 67.
Hold on. So I typed in what is a sluice. I accidentally clicked what is sluice room. Do you guys want to know what a sluice room is?
Yes, oh, yeah. Please.
It's where disposables such as incontinence pads and bedpans are dealt with. It is a well-planned and properly equipped sluice room is a cornerstone of hygiene and freedom from cross-infections.
In what year?
I think this is like now. What is...
You have a diaper room? You have like an entire diaper room?
And people are robbing it? Oh, fuck, yes, I was right. Sluice robber. One way of separating gold from the gravel and sand in which it is found is to put the mixture into a slanting trough called a sluice through which water is run.
There's gold thieves.
Fourth grade, learning about California history really did help.
Hell yeah.
I shouldn't have learned about Wisconsin history.
You look like an idiot.
It's not helping me at all now.
Nobody gives a shit about Wisconsin history.
What did
you
study in the fourth grade then?
About the woods?
Yeah, a lot of Native American names that we pronounce with like long German accents.
Great. What was yours?
Kenosha.
Oh, my Native American name in my studies in fourth grade was Moonchild.
Great.
I don't. We didn't take names. That was just the name of my town was Kenosha.
Right, because you had
boundaries.
Actual.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, yes.
Yeah. Actual culture of Native Americans. As
do you
want to
hear
like...
Micah's? It's really cute, and he'd be so embarrassed if the world knew. And now I'm going to tell you guys.
Uh-huh.
Let's hear it.
His because they did what's that thing? It's not Boy Scouts, but it's like. They call it like something guides or something, like Native American guides or something. Mm. Anyway, he did this thing in Chicago and his name, and he's like, it was not great that we did that. But his name was Little Orange Pumpkin.
Little Orange Pumpkin.
Yeah, it was like a super white idea of Native American names were.
Yeah.
Aren't all the all scouting groups like, just like take over Native American culture,
basically
right?
Racist.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Hashtag basically racist.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag basic racist. Don't be a basic race.
Okay.
So, sluice robber.
Sluice robber.
He's just like down at the end of the ramp with like a sack.
Yeah, he's just going to take gold. capture the gold. The cavalcade provoked no comments from the spectators, nor was any word uttered by the escort. Only when the gulch which marked the uttermost limit of Poker Flat was reached, the leader spoke briefly and to the point. I'm like, this fucking story, am I right?
You are right.
The exiles were forbidden to return at the peril of their lives.
Sure.
As the escort disappeared, the pent-up feelings found vent in a few hysterical tears from the Duchess, some bad language from Mother Shipton, and a Parthian volley of expletives from Uncle Billy.
They kicked out a Duchess?
No,
she's just known as the Duchess.
That's her name.
Although I thought she was named as Mother Shipton. Mother Shipton
is a different woman.
Person?
Okay. The philosophic Oakhurst alone remained silent. He listened calmly to Mother Shipton's desire to cut somebody's heart out. To the repeated statements.
Fuck yeah, Mother Shipton.
Yeah. Why don't we hear that?
Bold.
Oof. To the repeated statements of the Duchess that she would die in the road. And to the alarming oaths that seemed to be bumped out of Uncle Billy as he rode forward. With the easy good humor of characteristic of his class, he insisted upon exchanging his own riding horse, Five Spot, for the sorry mule which the Duchess rode. But even this act did not draw the party into any closer sympathy. The young woman readjusted her somewhat draggled plumes with a feeble, faded coquetry. Coquetry. Mother Shipton eyed the possessor of Five Spot with malevolence, and Uncle Billy included the whole party in one sweeping anathema.
I'm not making jokes because I don't know what the fuck this story is yet.
So they've all been banished.
Sure.
And they're being led out of town.
And they're pissed.
Well, the problem now is that I do understand what's going on and
nothing else is going on.
Yeah.
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 But we've got an anathema going on.
Yeah. Yeah. By Uncle Billy. The road to Sandy Bar, a camp that, not having as yet experienced the regenerating influences of Poker Flat, consequently seemed to offer some invitation to the emigrants, lay over a steep mountain range. It was distant a day's severe travel. In that advanced season, The party soon passed out of the moist, temperate regions of the foothills.
Moist cookie.
Into the dry, cold, bracing air of the Sierras. The trail was narrow and difficult. At noon, the Duchess, rolling out of her saddle upon the ground, declared her intention of going no farther, and the party halted. The spot was singularly wild and impressive. A wooded amphitheater surrounded on three sides by precipitous... I'm going to take that again. A wooded amphitheater surrounded on three sides by precipitous cliffs of naked granite sloped gently towards the crest of another precipice that overlooked the valley.
I'll tell you what, if they stop here and put on a show...
Hilarious.
Then I'm all in.
Hilarious.
Then,
I would
then
love
I
that.
Want this story.
Hell yeah.
They want to save the amphitheater.
Hell yeah.
They just need to put on one great
they
show.
They just need to get $200 and then they can buy the theater.
It was undoubtedly the most suitable spot for a camp, had camping been advisable. But Mr. Oakhurst knew that scarcely half the journey to Sandy Bar was accomplished, and the party were not equipped or provisioned for the delay. This fact he pointed out to his companions curtly, with a philosophic commentary on the folly of throwing up their hand before the game was played out. Everyone's like, we got it, you're a gambler.
Also,
it's like, what are you, a My Little Pony, where you just have, like, gambler stamped on your butt, and that's all you talk about?
Yeah.
Well, he's either always a gambler or always philosophic. I believe that's the third time he's been described as philosophic.
Yeah,
true. Always a gambler, never a bride.
So sad. But they were furnished with liquor, which, in this emergency, stood them in the place of food, fuel, rest, and prescience. In spite of his remonstrances, it was not long before they were more or less under its influence. Uncle Billy passed rapidly from a bellicose state into one of stupor. The Duchess became maudlin, and Mother Shipton snored. Mr. Oakhurst alone remained erect, sitting on a rock.
Nice.
Nice, he had a big old boner.
He just kept it up.
He just kept it up
he
all
just
night.
Remained.
Remained. He just remained
erect.
I'm going to use that.
Nevertheless, he
I
remained.
I am remaining erect.
Leaning against a rock, calmly surveying them. Mr. Oakhurst did not drink. It interfered with a profession which required coolness,
impassiveness.
Isn't
he the one who pulled the liquor out?
I think he wanted to make them drunk.
I don't
sneaky
like this guy.
Pete.
He's
sneaky. Have a drink with your friends.
Yeah.
These are your friends now, by the way.
This is your family now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're not friends. We're family.
I mean, that guy's Uncle Billy.
That's right. And you've got a Mother Shipton.
Yeah.
There you go. Everybody's family.
Plus, you all have to go ruin this new town together.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what's happening, that they're being sent to another
town. I still
town
don't understand why they got kicked out.
Because they're unmentionables.
They're unsavory folk.
Uh-huh. That's the word. As he gazed at his recumbent fellow exiles, the loneliness begotten of his pariah trade, his habits of life, his very vices, for the first time, it seriously oppressed him. He bestirred himself in dusting his black clothes, washing his hands and face, and other acts characteristic of his...
Bestirred himself? Just...
Yeah, just...
Just leave
words.
The erection alone.
It doesn't have to keep remaining.
It remained.
This is his erection remain still.
Hashtag the remained.
Remains of the day.
And other acts characteristic of his studiously neat habits, and for a moment forgot his annoyance. The thought of deserting his weaker and more pitiable companions never perhaps occurred to him.
Oh, what a nice man.
Nice. Yet he could not help feeling the want of that excitement which, singularly enough, was most conducive to that calm equanimity for which he was notorious. He looked at the gloomy walls that
he
rose.
He is notoriously even of temperament.
Yep, just ever.
Just like famous for it.
Just offensively. People are always talking about
like,
it.
Oh, he is notorious for being.
Just so even-keeled.
Even-keeled.
He looked at the gloomy walls that rose 1,000 feet sheer above the circling pines around him, at the sky, ominously clouded, at the valley below, already deepening into shadow. And doing so, suddenly, he heard his own name called. A horseman slowly ascended the trail. In the fresh, open face of the newcomer, Mr. Oakhurst recognized Tom Simpson, otherwise known as the Innocent of Sandy Bar.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'm imagining this as a horse man, like a man who is half man, half horse.
Oh, hello. A centaur.
I am certain that we will be presented with evidence to the contrary,
but
he
now,
will be a centaur.
We'll let you have your fun.
Thank you.
He had met him some months before over a little game and had, with perfect equanimity.
Philosophic equanimity.
He's notorious for it.
Won the entire fortune, amounting to some $40 of that guileless youth. After the game was finished, Mr. Oakhurst drew the youthful speculator Speculator?
Speculum.
That's an old-timey word for centaur.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Behind the door and thus addressed him. Tommy, you're a good little man, but you can't gamble worth a cent. Don't try it over again.
Okay.
Rude. But, you won.
How
just,
is that
just
the
let
first
it...
thing you say to him when you see him again?
You say hi.
Yeah, hi.
Like, oh, hi, Tom.
What's going on?
He then handed him his money back, pushed him gently from the room, and so made a devoted slave of Tom Simpson.
Oh, this is
this is
still
part of the flashback.
This is after
the experience. Jesus Christ, this story.
Let's do it. We got it. We got
this. We can
this.
Do this. We can do this. There was a remembrance of this in his boyish and enthusiastic greeting of Mr. Oakhurst. He had started, he said, to go to Poker Flat to seek his fortune. Alone? No, not exactly alone. In fact, a giggle. He had Ooh. Run it said a
That's,
giggle
you know,
in
but,
parentheses.
Centaurs,
in fact,
centaurs giggle a lot.
They do.
It's they true. Do.
Still
are
no they, evidence
are
that
they
he's
technically
not a
fairies?
Centaur.
I think so. I think
or
they're
fairy adjacent.
Yeah, like nymph type creatures.
I would believe that.
I refuse.
Well, they are certainly magical like fairies. Yes.
Oh, they're magical okay, in the magic true, family. True, true, true. Enchanted.
No, Ow. Not a There goes that water bottle again.
Some water bottle. Sluice.
No, not exactly alone. In fact, teehee, he had run away with Piney
tee-hee.
Woods.
Teehee.
Didn't Mr. Oak... It was a giggle.
Tom Simpson.
Didn't Mr. Oakhurst remember Piney? She had... Piney? She had Piney. Used to wait on the table at the Temperance House. They had been engaged a long time, but old Jake Woods had objected. So they had run away. Who's Jake Woods?
I'm sorry. Wait, Piney
and
was...
what's a
was,
Temperance House?
Piney okay. is a girl. She's
she
a waitress.
She was engaged to whom?
Tom
Simpson.
Innocent. Tom okay. the Innocent okay. Simpson.
Okay.
And Temperance House, is that someone's name or is
no,
that
I
a
think
place
it's
where
probably
they
a, okay. Yeah. She's a waitress at a hotel.
Got it.
Hotel.
And then someone named Jake Woods was having none
oh,
of it.
Oh, well, Jake, he's
fucking Jake.
Jake.
Classic Jake.
Jake is a fawn. Wait, no, he's a satyr.
Sure.
Sure.
Playing so, a little flute mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah, and he doesn't, they always get in other people's business. That's their thing.
So it is written, so it is done. But old Jake Woods had objected, and so they had run away and were going to Poker Flat to be married. And here they were. And they were tired out, and how lucky it was they had found a place to camp in company. All this the innocent delivered rapidly, while Piney, a stout, comely damsel of 15, emerged behind the pine tree, where she had been blushing unseen.
These stories aren't about minors.
He's a young man, though. It just said he was young.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't say how old he is. He's a guileless youth, though.
Okay, let's he is an innocent.
Also, yeah, let's assume that yeah, it's not
innocent.
So bad. Where she had been blushing unseen and rode to the side of her lover. Mr. Oakhurst seldom troubled himself with sentiment, still less with propriety. But he had a vague idea that the situation was not fortunate. Oh, hmm. He retained, however, his presence of mind sufficiently to kick Uncle Billy, who was about to say something. And Uncle Billy was sober enough to recognize in Mr. Oakhurst's kick a superior power that would not bear trifling. Okay. That is it's too much.
It's too,
much.
Too many.
It's
the,
too much.
The subtext
Twain
is
right.
Out of control.
Yeah, yes. I know. You know.
So he kicks Uncle Billy to like send him a message, but also kicks him hard enough to demonstrate that he's like
well,
got
like,
really strong legs.
He's like,
I think,
kicking him awake, I think.
Okay.
And it's like, well, he kicked him hard enough that Uncle Billy knew he meant business, kind of a thing.
That's
like,
not how
you better
kick
wake
someone
up.
Awake.
I think
you could just like shake someone awake and be like, you gotta wake up.
Boy. He then endeavored to dissuade Tom Simpson from delaying further, but in vain. He even pointed out the fact that there was no provision nor means of making a camp. But unluckily, the innocent met this objection by assuring the party that he was provided with an extra mule loaded with provisions, and by the discovery of a rude attempt at a log house near the trail. Piney can stay with Mrs. Oakhurst, said the innocent, pointing to the Duchess, and I can shift for myself.
Wait, so he just followed Oakhurst?
No.
I
think they just happened upon each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in like in a place that's perfect for camping.
He's
so.
From Sandy
he loves
Bar.
Camping.
They're on their way to Poker
okay.
Flats.
So they're maybe going opposite
we
directions.
We need to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Here we be. Oh, good, you guys are here. And she can stay with who he thinks is his wife, mm-hmm. but actually it's the Duchess.
Right.
And like, I'll just camp over here. And then boom.
He doesn't even realize they're exiled. Yeah, exactly. I see.
Oh, boy. Piney can stay with Mrs. Oakhurst, said the innocent, pointing to the Duchess, and I can shift for myself. Nothing but Mr. Oakhurst's admonishing foot saved Uncle Billy from bursting into a roar of laughter. As it was, he felt compelled to retire up the canyon until he could recover his gravity. There he confided the joke to the tall pine trees, with many slaps of his leg, contortions of his face, and the usual profanity. But when he returned to the party, he found them seated by a fire, for the air had grown strangely chill and the sky overcast, in apparently amicable conversation.
So Uncle Billy gets kicked, starts laughing.
Well, he thinks it's hilarious. Yeah. That Tom Simpson thought that the Duchess was Mrs. Oakhurst.
Yeah.
And he maybe thought it was so funny.
Right. And he's like, that's hilarious. Yeah. I'm going to go tell some pine trees about this.
Do you think the pine trees like that?
No.
I think they cracked up. Yeah.
You think they're really into it?
Yeah, they're shitty.
Oh. See, I felt like they were like, we already saw it. You don't have to tell us.
I don't think they did. He had to go up
He went a ways.
Yeah. He didn't go to the local mm-hmm. pine trees.
Yeah. He felt compelled to retire up the canyon until uh-huh. he could recover his gravity.
So he's scaling a cliff wall.
Oh my God. This is not good writing.
So he is literally like, he is laughing so hard. He's like falling over. He's like, I have to like climb up this mountain.
Yeah. He's like, excuse me a moment. I'm going to walk up a hill.
You're too much.
Until I can stop laughing.
Stop.
The writing.
It's not that funny too.
Woof. Okay.
Oh.
Piney was actually talking in an impulsive, girlish fashion.
She's a girl. She's 15.
The Duchess, who was listening with an interest and animation she had not shown for many days. The innocent was holding forth, apparently, with equal effect to Mr. Oakhurst and Mother Shipton, who was actually relaxing into amiability. Is this your D-D picnic?
Damned. I think they
maybe damned.
He
is this
to
your
censor
we're censored here?
Damned picnic, said Uncle Billy with inward scorn as he surveyed the sylvan group,
man,
the glancing firelight and the tethered animals in the foreground.
Uncle Billy's got all the zingers.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Classic Uncle Billy.
Damn picnic.
It was apparently suddenly an idea mingled with the alcoholic fumes that disturbed his brain. It was apparently of a jocular nature, for he built Jesus Christ, where he felt impelled to slap his leg again and cram his fist into his mouth. What is he, a cartoon?
He is a cartoon. This is an old-timey.
Cram his fist into his mouth?
Yeah. He did the, like biting on his finger.
Like he's a stooge.
Yeah, I hate this.
I do not like it. It's badly written, and I don't know. It's stupid. Okay. As the shadows crept slowly up the mountain, a slight breeze rocked the tops of the pine trees and moaned through their long and gloomy aisles. The ruined cabin, patched and covered with pine boughs, was set apart for the ladies. As the lovers parted, they unaffectedly exchanged a kiss, so honest and sincere that it might have been heard above the swaying pines.
Heard?
I guess it was like such a kiss, it smacked throughout the canyon. The frail Duchess and the malevolent Mother Shipton were probably stunned.
Have you known loud kissers before?
What kind of loud?
People like, in your lives, when they're kissing in the other room, like you can hear it.
Oh, yeah. It's when people have too, like they don't have control over their mouth.
It's usually if you're like younger, right?
Yeah. I've heard like older people do it.
I had a roommate in Chicago.
It's probably because they don't have their teeth in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice. Throwing a little ageism in there like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Fuck old people.
Fuck you. You're old.
Dumb non-teeth.
I had a roommate in Chicago. He and his girlfriend, they are now married, but they were so loud when they kissed.
Well, I'm glad they're married now, though.
Right. So now
then they can do it in the privacy of their own home. Well, you shouldn't kiss before marriage. You shouldn't kiss before marriage.
I'm glad
you wait.
Told us.
Not audibly, anyway.
In high school, I knew a girl who was going to save her kiss for marriage.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm guessing she failed.
Yeah, she failed spectacularly.
Yeah.
And I remember like it made guys like really, like they were like, I'm
going to get that kiss.
Wow, that's some real classic, like, 50s.
Yeah.
I want to be the one to pop a cherry thing. Gross.
Do you think if you were doing the like saving your kiss for, you know, your first kiss to get married, that you would do like hand stuff and like fool around with people otherwise?
Yeah, I think I think you like let someone shit on you, but you
spread it around like a cookie on your chest.
Yeah.
Girls and boys who are religious and saving themselves for marriage have anal.
Yeah. It's not the hymen's intact, but that boo hole's wide open.
Yeah. I don't think it bodes well for our opinion of this story that we have stopped telling it and are just talking about other stuff.
I know. This is the most off. Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm hot.
Saddlebacking, I believe, is what Dan Savage calls that.
Is when you go in the boo?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Specifically
to avoid losing the virginity.
Mm-hmm. Saddlebacking. That's very funny. As the show... Okay, the frail Duchess and the malevolent Mother Shipton. How is she malevolent? What is her story?
I don't know
these people's stories, I don't understand why it's so fucking funny that they thought the Duchess was fucking.
Well, I think he's just
a tree
like
joke. He wouldn't get it.
He really should have stayed with his strength, which is wrestling. Blah, blah, blah. Malevolent Mother Shipton were probably too stunned to remark upon this last evidence of simplicity, and so turned without a word to the hut. The fire was replenished, the men lay down before the door, and in a few minutes were asleep. Mr. Oakhurst was a light sleeper. Toward morning he awoke benumbed and cold. As he stirred the dying fire, the wind, which was now blowing strongly.
Numb also works.
Yeah, you can just say numb.
He was numb from the cold. Oh, yeah. He is like...
Yeah.
So insecure.
You know, I get why. You know what?
This is a first pass.
I think nothing happened between Mark Twain and him. He read this
story.
And he was like, how dare you let him represent the United States?
Yeah. Do not send this man in an official capacity.
He's a monster.
To Germany.
He is a monster.
People who write badly are monsters.
It's true.
That tracks.
As he stirred the dying fire, the wind, which was now blowing strongly, brought to his cheek that which caused the blood to leave it. Snow.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
That which brought I'm sorry.
Sentence.
I can't.
As I just want to repeat.
Yeah,
it.
go
Can
back.
Can you do it again?
As he stirred the dying fire, the wind, which was now blowing strongly, brought to his cheek that which caused the blood to leave it. Dash. Snow! Exclamation mark.
The blood leaves the wind?
No.
No,
my God.
The
snow
cheek.
Came to his cheek. And
it was made
so
him
cold.
Like this blood went
it
away from
brought,
his.
But blood come. Your cheeks get red when it's
no,
cold.
No, so it was like the wind like pushed his face so hard.
I don't think that's what
that
he just got like knocked
I don't
over.
Think that's
the,
what
the, that the blood
he's
like, got
bruised.
Pushed
no.
away.
No,
like,
it's not
okay.
What it
like look
no,
at my finger.
He just
I'm
doesn't know
squeeze
how cold
it.
Works.
Yeah, show me on your
see
finger.
How
show
it's
me on your
white.
Finger. How, yeah,
see that the that's the wind.
Snow.
Okay, now I get it.
You get it.
He started to his feet with the intention of awakening the sleepers, for there was no time to lose.
Awaken the sleepers!
But turning to where Uncle Billy...
Sorry. I'm really hot right now. I don't
also,
feel well.
We're all really bored.
Yeah.
This is incredibly boring.
Oh, boy. But turning to where Uncle Billy had been lying, he found him gone. A suspicion leapt to his brain.
He's
and
telling jokes to trees!
Yeah, he's just in the trees.
No, he stole something from the lovers.
Oh,
a suspicion
shit.
Leapt to his
a
brain
kiss.
And a curse to his lips.
A loud
he
kiss.
He stole a chaste but noisy kiss.
Oh, God.
And she went, no, he stole my kiss. He ran to the spot where the mules had been tethered. They were no longer there.
Oh,
the
shit.
Tracks were already rapidly disappearing in the snow.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, boy. The momentary excitement brought Mr. Oakhurst back to the fire with his usual calm.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The excitement
brought
him back to the
with
fire
his with notorious
his...
calm.
Oh my God.
Okay. So something
so he was at sub
calmed him. No, he was energetic and he was like, oh no, where's Uncle Billy? Oh fuck, everything's gone. Oh, the excitement has made me so very calm.
Okay.
All right.
Very even keeled.
Okay.
Oh, Brett.
Brett.
Hart and Boehm.
Yeah. To both, I brandish my fist.
Yeah. He did not waken the sleepers. The innocent slumbered peacefully with a smile on his good-humored, freckled face. The virgin Piney slept beside her frailer sisters as sweetly
She's
as
still
though,
a virgin?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He didn't.
Had that chaste kiss.
Yeah, but like they're married. They
no,
should be.
They're
fucking.
Not married. They're going to Poker oh. Flats to marry.
I thought you were going to say they're going.
They're going like, to poke her?
Yeah, poke her.
Would that this story were that interesting. Okay. Sweetly as though attended by celestial guardians, and Mr. Oakhurst, drawing his blanket over his shoulders, stroked his mustaches and waited for the time.
What? Hold on.
He has multiple.
Just keeps them in the binder.
He's got stash on stash on stash on stash.
Yeah, he just like gets them out and is just stroking them in his little binder.
Never stop stroking stashes.
I'm picturing it like a Yu-Gi-Oh card binder.
Yes, that's what
but,
I'm saying
like,
too.
With mustaches inside.
I'd just like to interject with, since we can't yell at Brett, I'd just like to say that Janari's over there illustrating.
Who is he drawing? Is he drawing
no,
one of
drawing
us?
Such oh, he's a drawing. Unique.
Oh, what a
Whoa.
Unique. That.
Wow, beautiful work.
He could use more mustaches, though.
He's
mustaches.
Such a talented young man.
What a talent. I mean, honestly, we are here witnessing true art mm-hmm. being made.
Birthed
while,
before
birthed,
us.
Birthed while we're reading
while over here,
this dribble.
This fucking
this
boring
Jeremy
fucking
dribble.
Shit.
There Ooh, burn.
We are like.
Halfway, about
halfway through this shit.
Oh my God.
And
I
only
can't,
now has
I
something truly happened.
I cannot
with you, Brett.
Everything that we've just
so,
done,
Brett's,
we have to
Brett's.
Do again.
All,
we're halfway
all
done.
All Brett's are on notice.
Yeah, every time we read a sentence, we're like, okay, let's unpack this.
Okay, let's go. Let's get through
right,
this. Let's get through this.
Right.
We don't have a ton of time.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Okay. Oh boy. Okay, where did... Okay, he was stroking his mustache.
Oh, yeah, that's right. His mustaches.
It came slowly in a whirling mist of snowflakes that dazzled and confused the eye.
Nice.
What could be seen of the landscape appeared magically changed. He looked over the valley and summoned up the present and future in two words. Snowden! Careful inventory of the...
Snowden? Is that what
Snowden!
You said?
Snowden.
Snowden.
It brought forth...
Edward Snowden.
Edward Snowden.
Okay, so some he looked over the valley,
yeah, oh.
summed up the present and future in two words. Snowed in.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
That is so, I hate that.
I know.
Summed up the present
all right,
and future.
You guys, we have to
and
get
we have to keep going.
This.
We have to go.
It is already 8:20.
Okay,
we
let's
have
go.
Another
oh
guest coming in 40
go,
minutes.
I know, we have to do
this
it.
This is going
to
take us hours
we'll
to get
do,
through
we'll,
if we
we'll
keep
do,
I don't
going
know that we're
going to
make it. Like, I think we might die
think,
of heat exhaustion and delirium.
I think that would be the funniest outcome.
That we can't finish it.
Is that we're like... Brett, we couldn't finish it. There wasn't time.
Okay.
We had to unpack every sentence.
Let's go. I'm so hot.
Okay. A careful inventory of the provisions, which fortunately for the party had been stored within the hut and so escaped the felonious fingers of Uncle Billy.
Oh my God.
Disclosed the fact that with care and prudence, they might last 10 days longer. That is, said Mr. Oakhurst, sotto voce.
So he's like whispering.
To the innocent. Mm-hmm. If you're willing
cool.
to, what a fucking pretentious little Jeremy Diddler.
Yeah.
For some occult reason, Mr. Oakhurst could not bring himself to disclose Uncle Billy's rascality and so offered the hypothesis that he had wandered from the camp and had accidentally stampeded the animals.
Occult used to mean strange.
Oh, thank you. Okay,
so,
I thought he was just being a dick again.
No.
Okay.
So we're making excuses for Uncle Billy?
He's like,
point?
For some reason, I don't want to tell people. So I'm just going to say that he Lion Kinged himself. He went full Mufasa.
That's mm-hmm. right. And there was a...
And there was a stampede.
Stampede.
Of wildebeest.
Yes, wildebeest. Mm-hmm. I was going to say antelope, and I was like, that's not...
Yeah,
no, that's not big enough.
He dropped a warning to the Duchess and Mother Shipton, who, of course, knew the facts of their associate's defection. Almost said defecation. They'll
nice.
Find out the truth about us all when they find out anything, he added significantly, and there's no good frightening them now. Tom Simpson was not only put all his worldly store at the disposal of Mr. Oakhurst, but seemed to enjoy the prospect of their enforced seclusion. We'll have a good camp for a week, and then the snow will melt, and we'll all go back together.
Go back where? To the town? They're not allowed
Poker
there anymore.
Flat.
They don't know this information.
Them.
Oh, this
and
is
he's innocent.
I'm sorry. I can't
Tom.
Keep track of who's talking.
Okay. I'm going to try innocent. To distinguish more with voices.
No, sure. Okay. It's mostly the heat.
I know. The cheerful gaiety of the young man and Mr. Oakhurst's calm infected the others. The innocent, with the aid of pine boughs, extemporized a thatch for the roofless cabin. And the...
Oh my God.
And the Duchess directed Piney in the rearrangement of the interior with a taste and tact that opened the blue eyes of that provincial maiden to their fullest extent.
Oh my God.
I reckon now you're used to fine things at Poker Flat, said Piney. The Duchess turned away sharply to conceal something that reddened her cheeks, though its through its professional tint. Oh yeah, she a hoe.
Yeah. Mm.
And Mother Shipton requested Piney not to chatter. But when Mr. Oakhurst returned from a weary search for the trail, he heard the sound of happy laughter echoed from the rocks. He stopped in some alarm, and his thoughts first naturally reverted to the whiskey, which he had prudently cached. And yet it don't somehow sound like whiskey, said the gambler. It was not until he caught sight of the blazing fire through the still blinding storm and the group around it that he settled to the conviction that it was square fun.
Huh?
All right. He's like, wow, are they drunk?
He thought they were drinking.
They're just fucking bored.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether Mr. Oakhurst had cached his cards with the whiskey as something debarred the free... What? How does this lead... No, that's the first...
Talking question. A lot about cachet.
Right, so he had hidden away the whiskey.
Fun. Yeah. Whether Mr. Oakhurst had cached his cards with the whiskey as something debarred the free access of the community, I cannot say. Who is I all of a sudden?
Oh, no.
Who is this narrator?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And it was I.
The spirit of the snow.
If you start the story that way, sure, but you can't just throw in an I.
On page three of your three and a half page story.
Yeah.
You can't.
Good Lord.
You can't introduce I.
Okay. Oh, boy. It was certain that, in Mother Shipton's words, he didn't say cards once. During that evening, that was in quotes. Happily, the time was beguiled by an accordion. What?
I'm sorry. So they played some accordion?
Happily, the time was beguiled by an accordion produced somewhat ostentatiously by Tom Simpson from his pack. An accordion was just in his backpack.
And was then produced ostentatiously.
So he gets it out and is like, speaking of
ostentatious, Jesus.
I know this
Christ. Writing
is ostentatious. It's a little purple, am I right?
It's a little insecure. Notwithstanding some difficulties attending the manipulation of this instrument.
Oh my God.
I can't. This is.
Tom can't play the damn instrument.
Which were deftly operated by his 10 digits.
It's exhausting.
It's tiring. I mean, honestly, I bet it's like 60 degrees in here and it's hot.
I might say it is obfuscating the true heft of the story, tis not.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Fuck you, how dare. Bret Harn.
How dare indeed. Oh boy. But the crowning festivity of the evening was reached in a rude camp meeting hymn, which the lovers, joining hands, sang with great earnestness and vociferation.
Oh my God.
Vociferation?
Are you kidding me?
No.
This is true. This Mark,
it is Twain. Yeah. Mark Twain was dead right.
He was speaking truth?
Dead right.
I can't.
We should have heeded his warning.
Yeah. I know. We just thought he was mean.
Truth to mediocrity.
This is awful.
I take back everything I said about Mark Twain.
If I found out that this guy was up for an official government position,
yeah, I would do everything I could.
I would do everything in my power to keep it from happening.
Yeah. Awful.
Here we go. Okay. Blee. I think Twain gave him notes and then Bret flipped the fuck out.
Yeah.
And he was like,
you're just jealous of my vocabulary.
Guess what? I bet maybe at a party, Bret tried to give Mark.
Holy
notes.
Shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, let me read what you've done. And then he's like, what the shit?
Go fuck yourself.
Oh my God. Oh, boy.
Ugh. I fear that a certain defiant tone and covenanter's swing to its chorus, rather than any devotional quality, caused it speedily to infect the others, who at last joined in the refrain. I don't know how this goes, so I'm proud to live in the service of the Lord, and I'm bound to die in his army.
I'm proud to live in the service
of this Lord, and I'm bound to...
And I know I'm free.
And I know I'm free.
All right. It is Patrick's
turn. Am I going? God.
Good luck.
Damn it. The pines rocked. The storm eddied and whirled above the miserable group, and the flames of their altar leaped heavenward as if a token of the vow.
Okay. Oh, whatever.
So dude. The forest loves it.
Forest fucking loves it.
Forest is joining in, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
At midnight, the storm abated. So we are now back in nighttime.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
The rolling clouds parted and the stars glittered keenly above the sleeping camp. Mr. Oakhurst, whose professional habits had enabled him to live with the smallest possible amount of sleep in dividing the watch with Tom Simpson, somehow managed to take upon himself the greater part of the duty. He excused himself to the innocent.
I don't know who this guy is apart from being calm.
Yeah, he's just calm. He's a
gambler. He doesn't need a lot of sleep.
He's a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
He's calm.
He excused himself to the innocent by saying that he had, quote, often been weak without sleep. Doing what? Asked Tom. Poker, replied Oakhurst. Sententiously?
Okay. You don't have to say that. God. You don't have to say that.
No one asked you to say that. No one asked you to phrase it that way.
You can say, oh.
No.
When a man gets a streak of luck, he don't get tired. The luck gives in first. Luck, he continued, continued the gambler reflectively, is a mighty queer thing. All you know about it for certain is that it's bound to change, and it's finding out when it's good, when it's going to change that makes you. Okay.
Okay.
This is impossible.
We've had a streak of bad luck since we left Poker Flat. You came along and you get slapped into it. And you get slapped into it, too. If you can hold your cards right along, you're all right. For, added the gambler with cheerful irreverence, I'm proud to live in the service of the Lord, and I'm bound to die in his army.
Wait. I don't know.
I think he's teasing him for being religious.
Yeah, I think he is.
Care.
The third day came, and the sun, looking through the white-curtained valley, saw the outcasts divide their slowly decreasing store of provisions for the morning meal. It was one of the peculiarities of the mountain climate that its rays diffused a kindly warmth over the wintry landscape, as if in regretful commiseration of the past. Sure.
Cool.
But it revealed drift on drift of snow piled high around the hut. A hopeless, uncharted, trackless sea of white lying below the rocky shores to which the castaways still clung. Through a marvelously clear air, oh my God.
It's impossible to try to make jokes or comment throughout when I am working so fucking hard.
Yeah, I'm trying to like to understand.
Get through these fucking sentences.
Through the marvelously clear air, the smoke of the pastoral village of Poker Flat rose miles away. Mother Shipton saw it, and from a remote pinnacle of her rocky fastness, hurled in that direction a final malediction.
So she just yelled?
Yeah.
She was like, fuck this.
Fuck you, Poker Flat.
Yeah.
It was her, oh my Lord. It was her last vita pura attempt. Uh-huh. And perhaps for that reason was invested with a certain degree of sublimity.
Okay.
It did her good, she privately informed the Duchess. Quote, just go out there and cuss and see. Then she set herself the task of amusing the child, as she and the Duchess were pleased to call Piney. Piney was no chicken. But it was still soothing, and the original theory of the pair thus to account for the fact that she did not swear wasn't improper.
What?
I think they're teasing her for not swearing at Poker Flat.
Yeah, and because she's young and she's a kid. Child bride.
Not a chicken.
Okay. Not a chicken. I mean, chicken, that can mean like a young something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. When the night crept up again through the gorges, the reedy notes of the accordion rose and fell in fitful spasms and long-drawn gasps by flickering campfire.
So now we're at the end of the third day already.
I believe so, yes. We went from midnight to third day to midnight to midnight. Third day. But the music failed to fill entirely the aching void left by insufficient food, and a new diversion was proposed by Piney. Storytelling. Neither Mr. Oakhurst nor his female companions.
Well, I hope Brett wasn't there to share one.
Behold this tale, my friends. Neither Mr. Oakhurst nor his female companions caring to relate their personal experiences, this plan would have failed too, but for the innocent. Some months before, he had chanced upon a stray copy of Mr. Pope's ingenious translation of the Iliad. Are we going to get the Iliad now?
They're going to
just retell the Iliad.
Read the old,
they're going to put on the show. They're going to put on the show.
All of a sudden, Judy Garland
and Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog pop out and they're like, you guys.
He now proposed to narrate the principal incidents of the poem, having thoroughly mastered the argument and fairly forgotten words in the current vernacular of Sandy Barr.
I'm so hot.
The Homeric demigods walked among the earth again.
Okay, great.
Trojan bully and wily Greek wrestled in the winds, and the great pines in the canyon seemed to bow to the wrath of the mighty Peleus.
I really hope Mark Twain just pops up at the at some point in the story and goes, this guy's a fucking asshole, right? Yeah. Like, just somehow Mark Twain injects in his voice.
He projects himself into, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Oakirk listened with quiet satisfaction. Most especially, he was interested in the fate of Ash Heels, as the innocent persisted in denominating the swift-footed Achilles.
Okay.
So the innocent is also a fucking idiot. Have you guys seen that clip of the person playing Wheel of Fortune, and they're trying to solve the puzzle, and it... all the letters are up there and it says like Mighty Hero Achilles and the guy reads Mighty Hero Achilles and they don't give it to him.
That's really mean.
Yeah.
That's really mean.
That's mean.
Anyway, that's the innocent. Yeah. Fuck Wheel.
Fuck Pat.
And Vanna.
Sagar.
Pat Sagar.
That's why
there
was a big old long pause before I tried to say it because I didn't know.
So with small food and much of Homer and the accordion, a week passed. Oh my God.
Holy shit. Over
the heads of the outcast. The sun again forsook them, and again from laden skies the snowflakes were sifted over the land. Day by day, closer around them drew the snowy circle, until at last they looked from their prison over drifted walls of dazzling white that towered 20 feet above their heads.
Jesus.
It became more and more difficult to replenish their fires, even from the fallen trees beside them, now half hidden in the drifts. And yet no one complained. The leftovers turned from dreary prospect. What? The lovers turned from dreary prospect and looked into each other's eyes and were happy. Mr. Oakhurst settled himself coolly.
They were full on love.
Full on in love.
My Timmy's full on love.
Okay. Mr. Oakhurst settled himself coolly. You don't need to settle yourself.
No.
You are famously calm.
Yeah.
Okay. To losing the game before him. The Duchess, more cheerful than she had been, assumed the care of Piney.
Are they all going mad with hunger and they're just getting more and more cheerful?
I mean, it seems like they're having a nice time. This is a story of people getting trapped and having a nice time.
A very nice time.
If someone doesn't eat someone else before the story is over.
Seriously. Yeah, Donner party.
What the fuck?
Only Mother Shipton, once the strongest of the party, seemed to stricken and fade. At midnight on the 10th day, she called Oakhurst to her side.
Oh, no.
I'm going, she said in a voice of querulous weakness. Sorry, so we'll do that again. I'm going, she said.
That's great.
In a
That's
voice
totally
of querulous.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say anything about it. Don't waken the kids. Take the bundle from under my head and open it.
What?
Mr. Oakhurst did so. It contained Mother Shipton's rations for the last week, untouched. Give them to the child, she said, pointing to the sleeping Piney. You've starved yourself. Oh, this is the gambler. Sorry. You've starved yourself, said the gambler.
Aw.
That's what they call it, said the woman querulously.
That's what they call it? Yeah, that is what they call it, because that's what it's called.
She lay down again, turning her face to the wall, passed quietly away. She's dead.
Oh my God, she just dies right then?
That's what they call it, dead.
Dead.
The accordion and the bones were put aside that day.
Wait, I'm sorry.
And wait. Homer was forgotten.
Wait.
I don't know. The next sentence negates that.
Okay.
When the body of Mother Shipton had been committed to the snow,
okay.
Mr. Oakhurst took the innocent aside and showed him a pair of snowshoes, which he had fashioned from an old pack saddle. There's one chance in 100 to save her yet, he said, pointing to Piney. But it's there, he added, pointing toward Poker Flat. If you can reach there in 2 days, she's safe. And you, asked Tom Simpson, I'll stay here, was the curt reply. So
why don't they all fashion snowshoes?
Yeah,
they can't all go back to Poker Flat.
Oh, they're not allowed.
But they can keep going to Sandy Bay.
I mean, I don't know why
make
they're not traveling this
it.
Whole. Yeah, maybe.
Why
a try.
Are they just making camp?
Why don't
time?
They just eat Mother they're Shipton?
Like, they should just eat Mother Shipton.
Just eat Mother
honestly,
Shipton.
Honestly, it wouldn't take me that long to eat a person.
How long do you think? 12 hours?
Well, like three. How long to decide to eat a person or how long to actually eat the person?
It would have to be in a snowy place because I'd be worried about them going bad.
Sure.
Sure. I think if someone else is enthusiastic about it, it's only a couple hours for me. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do it.
If it means I'm going to die. I can't start it.
If I've been stranded long enough.
Actually, I could start it.
You could start it?
If they were already dead.
I'd eat someone.
If they were already dead, would you break bones with me?
The lovers parted with long embrace. Oh. You're not going to, said the Duchess, as she saw Mr. Oakhurst apparently waiting to accompany him. As far as the canyon, he replied. He turned suddenly and kissed the Duchess, leaving her pallid face aflame and her trembling limbs rigid with amazement.
Yeah, no, amazement. Panties were wet.
Like that cookie.
Like that cookie.
Night came.
Again, but we just keep
night came,
jump cutting night to night. Yeah.
But not Mr. Oakhurst.
Oh, he didn't come back.
He did not come back.
They didn't have
he
sex.
He remained erect.
They didn't have sex. He remained erect.
It brought the storm again and the whirling snow. Then the Duchess, feeding the fire, found that someone had quietly piled beside the butt the butt enough fuel to last a few days longer. Fine. The tears rose to her eyes, but she hid them from Piney. So
I
now
they left.
Oakhurst
left
and has not returned.
Yeah,
but I
and
thought,
the innocent has also left
and not returned. And
so
then,
I think it's just Piney and Duchess.
Piney and Duchess are alone. Okay, where's Uncle Billy? I forgot about him. Where is he?
He's
gone.
Took off.
Trampled by wildebeests.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
The women slept a little. In the morning, looking into each other's faces, they read their fate. Neither spoke, but Piney, accepting the position of the stronger, drew near and placed her arm around the Duchess's waist. They kept this attitude for the rest of the day. That night, the storm reached its greatest fury, and, rending asunder the protecting pines, invaded the very hut. Toward morning, they found themselves unable to feed the fire, which gradually died away. As the embers slowly blackened, the Duchess crept closer to Piney and broke the silence of many hours. Piney, can you pray? No, dear, said Piney simply.
What?
I don't know. The Duchess.
Everyone can pray.
Not everyone can pay. Piney cannot pray.
Piney can't pray.
Unless you're opposed pray. To it. I'm in snow
nah.
deep.
The Duchess, without knowing exactly why, felt relieved and putting her head upon Piney's shoulder, spoke no more. They're freezing to death. Right?
Yeah, but why is she glad she can't pray?
I don't know. She's just like, yeah,
she
we're just going
to be bored by a prayer.
She's like, oh, thank God. I didn't want to listen to that. We are so disinterested in this story. We have like five lines left and we're not reading it. We're not doing it.
We're done?
Do it. Tell us how
it
ends.
That'd be really funny.
So they're freezing to death.
That'd be so funny, though.
Piney can't pray. The Duchess, without knowing exactly why, felt relieved, put her head on Piney's shoulder, spoke no more. And in so reclining, the younger and purer, pillowing the head of her soiled sister upon her virgin breast, they fell asleep. A lot of judgment in the end of that sentence.
Yeah.
The wind lulled as if it feared to waken them. Feathery drifts of snow, shaken from the long pine boughs, felt like white-winged birds and settled about them as they slept. The moon, through the rifted clouds, looked upon what had been the camp. But all human stain, all trace of earthly travail, was hidden beneath the spotless mantle mercifully flung from above. Mercifully flung from above?
Mercifully.
Okay. Well, I was just...
Mercifully.
It seems like it would be mercilessly.
Yeah.
The snow shows no mercy.
The snow is like being kindly, I'll cover you.
We don't have to see this.
I'm going
to
bury you with nature.
Yeah.
They slept all the day and the next day, nor did they waken when voices and footsteps broke the silence of the camp. And when pitying fingers brushed the snow from their worn faces, you could scarcely have told from the equal peace that dwelt upon them, which was she that had sinned.
Oh my God.
I hate this.
Slut and virgin look the same in the snow.
Yeah. In death, we're all the same, even if you were a dirty, dirty whore during life.
Dirty. Even if you ate that cookie.
Even if you ate that wet cookie.
Even the law of Poker Flats recognized this and turned away, leaving them still locked in each other's arms.
Okay. They just left them there? They didn't even bury them?
I don't know. It seems like they maybe suspect them of like diddling each other.
Oh, I don't God. Think. No, I think they're just like, oh, this
who
is
gives
a bummer.
A shit? Sure.
In
Let's
death,
leave.
She is so pure.
Yeah.
But at the head of the gulch, on the largest of the pines, they found the deuce of clubs pinned to the bark with a Bowie knife. It bore the following, written in pencil, in a firm hand.
I am probably notoriously calm about my death.
Beneath this tree lies the body of John Oakhurst, who struck a streak of bad luck on the 23rd of November, 1850, and handed in his checks on the 7th December, 1850. That's what he leaves on his own grave marker.
He buried himself.
And pulseless, and pulseless and cold, with Derringer by his side and a bullet in his heart, still calm as in life, beneath the snow lay he who was at once the strongest and yet weakest of the outcasts of Poker Flat.
What a fucking terrible nothing
Nobody
of a story.
Nobody got eaten.
I
hated this story so
nothing
much.
Nothing happened, and then
nothing
they all died.
Nothing happened. They
Here's
got
the thing.
Kicked out of town. Because a bunch of stuff got stolen and Poker Flats is like, we're not having it. And then they went to the fucking Yellowstone.
That's right.
And
they
a storm
there.
Happened and they died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the men
that
leave to like
not
be
a
heroes.
Story.
But they all died?
Kill themselves? Or we don't know what happens to
it's
the innocents.
Not a story.
Wait, but we don't know what happened to the innocents.
Maybe
so
the innocent came back. Maybe that's
Mother
who brought
Shipton.
The poker
she died,
flat.
But they
she
were talking
died
about
first.
They were talking about taking her body back to Poker Flat, and like they could save her.
No.
It was
did I misunderstand
you,
it?
It's like, hey, innocent, if you get your ass to Poker Flats quickly,
you
then
can save
then
Piney.
You can save Piney.
Piney, Piney.
You can bring people back, and I think maybe he did. And so maybe
and
he's alive. But also,
but he
who
killed.
Gives a flying fuck because nothing happened in this story, and. It was badly written. Mark
impossible
Twain was right.
To read.
Yeah, that was impossible to read.
Wow. Mark Twain nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Some really insecure writing.
Incredibly insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that
God.
That was the word for
Can
it.
Can you imagine how terrible it must be to spend
so
time with
defensive.
This author?
Well, the thing is, maybe he's delightful in person.
No,
and that's,
you can't
but
be
they
delightful.
Were friends.
You
they were friends first.
They were friends for a time. That's true.
I've been friends with people I hate now.
Great point.
Yeah, but I've also been friends with bad writers.
This bad?
I don't know. I couldn't
I
give
know.
An example, but I
Name
think
names.
Yes. I think yes.
I mean, this feels to me like
a list,
first draft.
But
right?
I have
like this. These are all the words that like he.
I would not be surprised if this came out normal. And then he just kept adding
really?
And adding to it to
what
make it sound smarter.
Ugh.
Because he was trying to sound smart and good.
Well, because obviously there's nothing like
adding
plotted
shit.
Here.
Yeah. Exactly. So he's like, I'm going to just keep adding words. He's like, I'm so fucking clever. I'm clever. I'm clever. Please like me. Please like
what's
me.
What's the minimum word count for this thing?
You know what? Maybe
I'll
he was like,
ostentatiously to this accordion.
Maybe he was like on laudanum or something.
I don't know. But he's not a good writer.
No, he's not. It's very bad. Thank you so much for joining us to read
oh,
this
yeah.
terrible story,
Thank
Patrick.
You.
Thank you. It was a delight.
Do you have anything you want
to
plug?
Oh, I would love to plug the podcast that we mentioned before, Nintendo Cartridge Society and Same Day Shipping. Just check those out. One's about Nintendo and the other is about relationships and popular culture. Also, check out Retcon Punch, where I write about comic books.
Yes. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Patrick_Ellers. Ellers is Ehlers.
Great.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Pleasure to have you again, Patrick.
Thank you for having
me.
We
love having you. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I know that we said we were going to do shout outs. We have to sit down and figure out which ones
Apple
we've already
Podcasts
said.
Apple Podcasts did this thing where they mix it all up.
Yeah. It's
it
not
is
great.
Very hard to tell which ones we have already read. It's not in chronological
nope.
order. So it's not our fault. It's Apple Podcasts' fault.
Yeah.
But if you want to support the podcast, please rate and write a review for us.
It seriously, that helps us so much. Tell a friend.
Tell your English teacher from high school.
Yeah. Be like, hey, Mr. Harberger.
Call up the Hart family. And be like, yours was the better Brett.
Yeah. Call
no,
them up.
All,
and
all
the
Bretts
wrestling,
are on notice.
Go find
all
his.
All Bretts are on notice. Especially Brett Boehm.
Can we, Lindsay, can
what?
We go find his grave?
And put that same marker on it.
Oh my God. No, I was going to say take a poo-poo on it.
I don't
oh, the
shit on
the deuce
man's.
Of spades.
Yes. And you can follow our show on
social
social media.
Show on
I was
going to
say on Twitter. I'm so hot.
It is so
it's
hot.
So fucking hot. And that story was so fucking boring.
At Public Domain Pod, thank you so much for listening. We love you. And keep it lit.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.